Welcome to Refuse to Lose Sports. My name is Joe Jordan. We have an awesome special episode today that was requested. We got three of my guys with me. We got Javon. What's good, Javon?
What it do? What it do?
It's good. It's good. And we got J-Mo. What's up, J-Mo?
What's up, bro? Appreciate you for having me, man. Let's get it.
And we got Hibachi. I mean, we got Devin. What's good, Devin?
What's up, fellas? Let's get it.
Let's go. So, look, we got a good episode, NBA episode for y'all. But before we get started, make sure y'all like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share this video with somebody that you guys know personally so they could come on and watch with you. And use that comment section. We can see all the comments y'all will be putting down throughout the show. We want y'all to be involved. We also have some Instagram chats that we actually give out news as far as like trading, free agency, off the court, on the off the court, off the field, on the court, on the field news, anything for our sports related with MLB, NBA, NFL, college football, college basketball, boxing, and WBA fused with the NBA. So if you want to be a part of those chats, you can actually follow the ticker on the bottom and hit us up on one of our social media platforms. We can throw you in those chats. And we also have the Refuse to Lose chat, which is for people who actually come on the show. And that's when we do hard debating in that chat. So I'm going to, you know, as the show go on, I'm going to have each one of y'all talk about the chat. But we're going to start off with you, Javon. Let's talk about the Refuse to Lose chat, why it's so valuable.
The Refuse to Lose chat is so valuable because, like Joe said, you have to come on the show first. And then once you come on the show, you get joined on there. And that's where it get real gritty in there. I mean, you get to voice your opinion on a lot of things. You get opportunities brought to you that can, if you have something going on far as sports related or anything like that, you have opportunities coming to you that you can take advantage of as well. So it's not just a place that we talk sports. It's a place that we are a community, a family that help each other grow as well. So that's really the gist of it. That's really the main part that, you know, that I feel like is the best part of that Refuse to Lose chat. And it's always active in there. You know, we have the NBA chats, all those chats. But sometimes we'll be like, man, let's go to Refuse to Lose chat. It's kind of dead in here. So definitely try to get on that show. To try to get up in that Refuse to Lose chat. It makes your day. Trust me.
Awesome. And last but not least, y'all, enjoy the rest of the show. So we're going to kick off. We're going to get into some debating. But it's been some news out that's probably not debating-wise, but just get real-wise, right? And the first one is John Morant. John Morant sat down with Jalen Rose. We all know he was suspended for 6 games, including the 4 games he's already missed. So he can be back as soon as Monday. But he sat down with Jalen Rose and talked about the whole situation. We're going to play this short clip real quick, and then we're going to dig into it, all right? So here's the clip for y'all.
Did you realize I need to get some counseling? Tell me that morning, your thought process, and when you entered.
It was that morning, you know, when I woke up and, you know, seen my, you know, name on the, all over the media for, you know, bad reasons, the wrong reasons, which I didn't, you know, wanted to see. And, you know, I made a call and said, you know, I need to get away and, you know, I need to, you know, find myself again. And, you know, that's when I entered the counseling program and, you know, I've been there for a couple of weeks now.
All right. This is just a clip of the clip. And David corrected me. It was eight-game suspension, 6 games he already served. So we're going to kick this off with you, Javon, all right? So just give me your reaction of that interview with Jalen Rose.
I liked it. I thought it was good. It gave him an opportunity just to give his side of the story. You know, I watched the whole thing, and he was speaking about each incident that he could actually speak on. And he was just pretty much giving his side. At the end of the day, he's a young guy. Only, 23 years old. He just came into a lot of money. You see how things are, how these young people are very influenced with social media. He's in Memphis. It's rapper heavy there. He's influenced by the rappers. And he's a young guy. I mean, we all were young before. We all like to have fun. We all like rap music and things like that, the culture. So it's nothing to me that's like shocking. Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe he did that. Because he's a kid at the end of the day. What I really want to touch on is his father. For me, I want to speak on the generation that the things that I see now. It seems like nowadays, it's more, the parenting is more of being a friend to your child because, you know, instead of, you know, it's okay to be a friend because you want your child to always be comfortable, to be able to come to you, you know, and not hide things and all that kind of stuff. However, you have to set an example. And I feel like that's something that Ja really needs right now. It's good he came out and spoke about how he got help. He spoke to someone about it that lets young people know it's okay to seek help, you know. But I feel like his father is the main one that really has to step in, step up and step in and set that example for him because, I mean, he has to do that because Ja's a young guy and we never had half the money he got. So when I was in, I left high school, out of high school, I went to community college. I got a refund check for like $3,000 and I didn't know what to do. I thought missing classes. So I can only imagine what's it like to have millions. Mm. And then it's a whole nother level. So I like the fact that he came out and spoke about, like, he seeked help and things like that. I just want to see his father step up as well. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. I just see what I see, and I just want to see, you know, his father lead this charge with him.
Yeah, I remember that Javon was Christmas that year. He was Santa mm-hmm. Claus that year for Christmas.
No fun. All right.
Let's go, Devin. Talk to us.
All right. My first point I want to make is I could attest to Javon's story. I was right with him with the same check. Went to Forestville Mall and we turned up. Went to a party with him. So I know what it was. I was there. I spent mine too. about the interview, Javon said he liked it. Me personally, I didn't like it. Only because it's not the fact that I think everything Javon said was right. I just don't think it was real. Not saying he wasn't genuine. It just, I mean, like even watching him do the interview, you could tell he met with Adam Silver and they said, you need to do this. So it's not the fact that, all right, I want to do this interview because I want to change. I wanted to go to rehab because I wanted to change. If he didn't get caught with the, you know, waving the gun on Instagram Live or whatever, he would have been still doing the same thing. So it's not like he figured out in himself, I want to change. He only doing that because he probably was losing endorsements. They told him, this is what you need to do, or you got to do this, or it's going to get bad for you in the NBA. And he's young. His career is about to be long. And I'm not saying his career could be short, like Myles Leonard. He's not good. That's why his career, you know, was short. He is back with the Bucks now, I think. But like Kyrie Irving, look what happened with Kyrie Irving, which I didn't agree with everything with that. He didn't really go anywhere because Kyrie Irving good. Like, he's going to always end up on the team. When you're that good, somebody else going to pick you up. So with John Morant, I didn't like I just didn't like it. It didn't seem genuine. He was talking about the it wasn't his weapon or stuff like that. Of course, obviously, when he got in there with Adam Silver, he probably asked him the question, whose was it? Why was you doing this? Why was you doing that? You need to say this, this, and that. You could tell he was not reading off a script, but for the most part, they coached him up to what to say. I don't like that they had Jalen Rose interview him. It just didn't feel right to me. He would never interview nobody else. So why he interviewing somebody now, this black man now? So I didn't like that portion of it. You know, Jalen Rose had the inner city life. They probably was like, oh, it's going to look good if you go in there and talk to him. And which he wasn't talking to him like an inner city person. He was talking to him, hi, I'm Jalen Rose here. And so it just didn't mesh up. I mean, some stuff he said, I could agree with you. I mean, I could relate to you. Fast. I did this. I lost my mother early, so I know how this is. Even though he didn't lose his mother, John Morant. It was just things of that nature. Now, far as the team-wise, I think I just seen something where it says Memphis Grizzlies is getting out of cities early. Now, I don't like that at all because at the end of the day, his teammates are grown men. He telling me I got to leave a city early because somebody messed up. And I do think they're going to come together and come around him and, you know, probably try to put their arms around him and guidance. But I don't like the fact that now I got to leave early because he messed up. And I feel like John Morant probably feel bad because, look, they didn't do nothing. But you can tell certain people already was feeling a certain type of way, like Steven Adams. Now I'm thinking about it. It might just be Steven Adams. Who knows why Danny Green got traded? He might not like what was going on there. All I know is it's not a lot of older guys on that team far as that can. Now I'm thinking about it. You got Jaren Jackson. Basically, everybody young, and you see how they act. Only person that don't act like that's young is Tyus Jones. He do act, you know, like he got some maturity to him. But outside of that, it's not like anybody was on the team like, all right, y'all, slow down. They probably was amping it up. That's how Dylan Brooks act, Jaren Jackson, Brandon Clark, all of them act like that. So they probably didn't think nothing was wrong with it. Now, as far as his friends, I don't know. We don't know the real situation with his friends. I don't know what he told them. Look, I got to do this because the NBA said I got to do this because I know what it is or what. So me for the interview, I didn't like it. But I do think it was the right thing to do. If you're talking PR-wise and promotions and stuff like that he has endorsements.
All right, J-Mo?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what both of y'all said, especially the part about his father, Javon, and Devin, the part about it not being real. Like, you could definitely tell, but it was the right thing to do. At the end of the day, I didn't like how they tried to make it a whole mental health thing. Me personally, I'm not trying to down the mental health crisis, but to me, he just made a mistake and he has to learn from it. It's not like, you know, he's fighting demons or he's doing this or doing that. He doesn't make smart decisions and he has to learn from them. And I think as far as seeing mental professionals and things like that, I think that can simply be solved by what Javon said, his father. And like I don't know what's going on either. I don't know. But I do know that it's a repeated behavior. You know what I'm saying? I know one of the things in the interview he said was that he wants to show people the real Ja, but you constantly show us the real you. Like every chance you get, you have a chance to just play basketball and keep your mouth shut, but you can't even do that. You gotta act crazy while you play basketball. So now we see you as a crazy basketball player, we're gonna think you're a crazy person. That's just how it is. Dylan Brooks is a dirty basketball player. When people walk by him, he might, you know, they probably think he's going to shove him or something like that. Like, they wouldn't be surprised if he act like that because that's how he acts on a basketball court. So the way he acts on the court doesn't help his case. He fought a kid at his house and then they reportedly went to get a gun. So, like, there's repeated behavior that this is you, Ja. So change. I'd rather you say, I want to change myself versus showing people who the real me is. You've been showing us, this is who you've been the whole time you've been in the league. There's never been a nice guy label on you. I mean, even after they won a playoff game, he's like, stay on that side. It's like little stuff like that. You know, it builds a narrative on you. The way you play the game, it builds a narrative on you. So the way you act off the court, your behavior on the court capitalizes right into that. So it's like a double negative. And as far as his friends, I don't know if they're the influences that's messing him up. I don't know if, man, he grown. He do what he want. I don't know if it's like they see him, but they're not correcting him. It's like if you don't correct your friend, you're wrong. But you're not the reason he's doing that wrong thing. You're just letting them do it. Like, you're not. So his friends can probably be in a tough spot. But at the end of the day, he made those decisions himself. And I think he just has to learn from his mistakes. I don't think it, you know, he has all these endorsements and his contract money and everything. So, of course, they got to have these interviews and stuff like that. But I just think he made a mistake. Like Devin said, the only mistake I think he really made was the camera was on. If the camera wasn't on, he'll do the same thing and have the same amount of fun if he was at that club. He just wouldn't put it on Instagram. And I'm pretty sure he's not – he said the gun wasn't his, but I'm pretty sure he's not the only NBA player, let alone grown man in the world with a family that probably has a gun. Like, he's not the only one. He just doesn't have to act that way. So my overall reaction to the interview is – really 50-50 on it. I agree with it as far as getting your contracts and your endorsements and keeping your, you know, refurbishing your image. But the genuineness and the realness of it and like they could have did a better job. I didn't like it for that part. So I'm kind of 50-50.
All right. So I kind of agree with some of the things y'all said, and I disagree with some of the things y'all said. Number one, I like the interview. I'm glad they did it. And I think it was the right move for his image. I think that interview was created for his image. Of course, the NBA's image, obviously, but for his personal image, because he does have endorsements and he wants to keep those endorsements. So he has to come out and make it seem like, which probably is true, that he's going to be better in the future. Now, being a fake interview, I would say more scripted. Let's say that. I think it was a more scripted interview. Like, Jalen Rose told him all the questions was going to happen. And Jalen Rose, I think, and Devin, you said you don't like, I like Jalen Rose doing an interview, because when you watch the interview, Jalen Rose didn't only interview him, he praised him during the interview. Because Jalen Rose, you can tell he wanted to see Ja win. So I thought he was the right guy for that. I'd rather see him up there than a Tim Legler or somebody, you know, somebody else.
Jalen Ernie Rose, Johnson.
Yeah, Ernie Johnson, right? Or anybody from the jump, or not for NBA TV today. I like Jalen Rose. I think he's more fit for that role. So, but Jamal, I do agree with you with this. They made a big deal of the mental health situation. Like, he was doing it because of mental health. Once again, not trying to diss mental health. Like, mental health is not a real thing. We're not saying that. We're saying that Jalen just made a mistake. Like Jamal said, he made a mistake, and you got to learn from it. And this is what he said in the interview. All right, and Jalen Rose was on money with this question, because I think this was going on, and this relates to what Javon and Devin was talking about. He talked about how, talking about his inner circle, right? He said, you go from being a member of the crew and being a part of the family, then you turn to being a part of the staff, talking about his circle. Like when you were like Ja Morant's cousin, you just part of the family, you just one of his friends, but then when he's famous, he got all his money, now you're part of the staff. Because you gotta, because Ja's gonna put you, because he said, because you're trying to put everybody in position to be successful. So you give them roles. No, you give them things to do. And he said, because they helped you become who you are, which is true. And Ja said that at age 19, I became a breadwinner. I became a father. I became this. All this stuff, all this on my shoulders at a young age, making millions of dollars. And then It could be. I do agree. It could be stressful. I agree with that part. So maybe it's some type of mental health issue into it. But then this is what Ja's response was, which I love. It's tough because I'm big on loyalty, and I think we talked about that on one of the episodes, right? But I have to be there for myself and put myself in good positions. Then he said, I have to find out who's really for me and who's going to help me be in good positions at all times. That's what it's all about. It's about your circle. Like, all right, obviously, Ja probably made a mistake. And Jamal said his friend's in a tough position. But he said, I need people around me who's going to help me be in the right position, which I think I agree with. Because some people just let you be do the wrong thing. That's not good. You want people to tell you you're doing the wrong thing. And then you're not going to be able to tell me that. Just don't be around me, you know? So especially at the status he's at. So I like the interview. And then lastly, his behavior on the court, I have no issues with his behavior on the court. I love it, matter of fact. I love talking trash. I love that. As long as you back it up. But I love talking trash. So if people want to look, Ja's not a dirty player. He's confident, and he lets you know. You know, so I have no issues with him being that way. And you can be that and be something else off the court. You know, so overall, I like the interview.
No, I agree with y'all with the whole mental illness thing. I feel like a lot of people run to that. And I feel like, but first of all, I don't want to disrespect it, because I know it's real. I know it's definitely real. Like, you know, I just want to say, I want to harken back to what I was saying about parenting. I feel like parents play a key role in the mental health of your child. Talk to your child, learn your child, be there for your child. Guide your child. It's okay to let your child figure out what they like, things like that. However, you have to guide them the right way. So, especially in the Black communities, we have to step up in our parenting department and really make an impact.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get it. All right, let's move on to our next topic. Our next topic, Dame Lillard. He was sitting down with J.J. Redick, old man in the theme, and he talked about basically people over talk about playoff success, and we just skip the regular season. All right, so let's talk about. I got the clip for it. Let's play this quick clip for it.
The NBA I play in now, is not the NBA that I came into. And I expect it to evolve. Everything is constantly changing. But like, I feel like I play for the love of the game. Like I want the competition. I want to know what it feels like to win. I want to see my teammates do well. I want to see my teammates get paid. You know, like I enjoy the bonding part of it. Like we spend more time with each other than anybody, but now it's like, that don't count. Regular season don't count. Get a ring. You know what I'm saying? Like who, this guy's the MVP. This guy did this. He the first. It's like, bro, what is this stuff?
All right. So our reaction on that. So is he making sense? All right. So Devin, you're going to kick us off with this one.
I agree with like what Dame doing for us. My personal thoughts on it. I'm not one to want to, you know, join up with people and to win something like that. That's not my, you know, personal thing. I mean, I'm not no NBA player. I do some small time basketball league stuff here in my community. But I, like he said something about, it's about the journey. I enjoy, you know, competing against the, what is so quote unquote, the better teams with the people I came in it with. Because it's, I feel like it's easy for somebody to go, hey, I'm going to join this team. I got 11 players and I can be the 12th guy and I know we're going to win. But how you really feel about it, even if somebody's saying it, you know it in your heart, you know in yourself that I really didn't do nothing. And you know people talking about you. And so I think like people like Kevin Durant, I think people laid off this person, but LeBron James, and I'm a LeBron fan, but I mean – that team he went and joined with ain't like it was a slouch. So as far as like Dirk Nowitzki, to see that, that's how I want to get it. Like, or Giannis to do it like that. I'm not saying there's nothing terribly wrong with KD and LeBron doing it because at the end of the day, they did it. And now they got their rings. They can always say, I got my ring. But me personally, I wouldn't do it that way. And so I'm trying to think, because Dame came in the league in what, 2009 or 10? 2012 Goodness gracious. Oh, well, I don't think he's right from what he's saying. I think the league had already been there. I think it was already based off playoff success and rings and stuff of that nature. That's why KG left and went to, or I mean, he was traded, but you already, everybody know how that went. I want to go there, but basically. LeBron went to wherever. So I think the league was already like that. But on the flip side, look what he said about like Russell Westbrook. He not a journeyman, but he only landing on teams because of his name. I don't think he might, not saying he's gonna be out the league next year, but it's gonna get to the point like, well, we don't need him. It's hard to watch him basically in basketball right now. It really is. And I don't think Dame could ever end up like that because skill wise, they're just so different. But he basically saying, I don't want to be that person either. I keep bouncing from team to team. And so, hey, I agree with Dame. I would stay on Portland, but I don't think he should stay there at Portland just like they did with, like Cleveland did with LeBron, when you can visually see they're not doing anything to help him. They talking about shutting him down for the rest of the year if they don't look like they're going to do nothing. So that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Bruh.
All right, J-Mo.
Okay, so I agree that he basically mentioned that the league is getting younger, mm-hmm. and that guys are more entitled instead of, I guess, earning their place. And me personally, I think that relates to more of off the court reasons. Like if you're a bum, for most cases, you're not gonna see the floor unless you're on a bad team. But I think the entitlement comes with the money and the endorsements, I guess. Like guys can get a few highlights and get an endorsement and start making money, like, or these, and in these contracts, you got rotation players, you know what I'm saying, making close to $20 million a year. So like I think the entitlement comes with the money, me personally. Because some of these guys, I mean, what are they so entitled for, averaging 7 points a game? He got to be talking about the money. But he made a great point about bonding, because you do hear a lot of that from older players that play in the leagues before us and the leagues we watched growing up. Like, they had long relationships with their teammates because they stayed with one franchise for most of their career or their whole career. So I think he made a great point about bonding, a great point about older players being on teams when he came in. You know, going back to our last subject, I wonder how this would play out if Memphis had an older player, a 40-year-old. But that's a great point about vets being on the team. And I think that it can kind of be a little hypocritical to what he's saying, because one instance he said guys only play for stats and not winning. But then at the same time, he wants his praise for getting stats and not winning. So, you know, I don't know if, like, he's trying to say that people aim for stats and not winning, or people get stats and don't win and think they're going to get praised. Like, if that's what you're saying, bro, you're one of those guys. I also think before he mentioned that, you know, he's cool with guys coming to Portland, but he's saying he's not going to sell his soul to leave Portland. So I think that can also be hypocritical.
Stop the cap.
I kind of agree too with the only value in rings thing, because as much as James Harden has done in this league, he gets killed. Mm. And I know it's because the way he loses in the playoffs and things like that, but I mean, he's one of the greatest players in NBA history to not win a championship. You can't name probably five, maybe three players that didn't win a ring that were better than him. So that's just an example. I do think stacked teams and player empowerment play a role in the, you know, only value in rings thing, because people are teaming up to win championships, you know, not because they like guys or they cool with them or that's where they got drafted. Low management is another way that people are valuing rings, because they sitting their players out, make sure they're healthy for the playoffs instead of putting out the best product every game for the customer. So it is some truth in that. One thing I don't agree with what he said, that guys are getting handed keys to the franchise. There's only been a few, and those guys deserve it. You didn't get handed the keys because you had Aldridge. I think if Aldridge wasn't there, you probably would have got handed the keys, because you were clearly the second best player. But it's only been a few guys that, you know, Ja Morant, they traded away Conley because Ja's coming in. Paolo, please, man.
Yeah, you play 15 minutes a game.
They got rid of Dennis Smith Jr. for Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young, they handed him Atlanta as soon as he got in there. So it's only been a few, and all those guys deserve it, if you ask me. So I think at the end of the day, this can be a nice case of right message, wrong messenger. Mm. Because he's saying a lot of true things, but, you know, it can sound like he's saying it toward, and he said like three times, I'm not trying to relate to my situation. But whenever you, while you was talking, Dame, that was the first situation you thought of, yours. So, you know, maybe if somebody else was talking about it, or I guess, I don't know. But I just think that it kind of feels like right message, wrong messenger.
Mm-hmm. All right, so now the whole in that part of the interview was about, like what you said, Jamal, I agree with the culture, you know, on the court. Basically, some people, like the veteran leadership, that's why I agree with Dane. It's kind of like a lot of the teams, we just talk about Memphis. Memphis only got one veteran. Tyus Jones is literally one of the veterans, y'all. like for real. He's one of the older guys on their team. They got one veteran, which is Steven Adams. So a lot of teams lack veteran leadership to teach them the simple stuff, like how to prepare, how to act on the road, little stuff like that. And he talked about that. Now, I 100%, 1,000% disagree with Dame when he talks about the NBA has changed, focusing on rings versus basically the regular season. They don't value the regular season. I think we do. How did Westbrook get a triple? I got Westbrook MVP because he got a triple double in the regular season. All right. When Dame scored 70 points, did he not get praised? All right, like he did not get praised for that. right? When Luka did his thing, did he not get praise? When Donovan, like, we give praise to regular season, and like, you getting the ring has always been the thing. Like, think about this. Wilt Chamberlain had four straight MVPs. But guess what everybody kept saying after that? Is he going to win? And guess what happened? He ended up winning. He beat Bill Russell in the playoffs, and he ended up winning the first championship. Oscar Robertson, same thing. Mr. Triple-Double. People start calling him selfish. I know he went alive. He got YouTube. People start calling him selfish. Can he win a ring? He finally teamed up with Kareem, and he won a ring. So teaming up, things just happened today. It's been happening. All right? Elgin Baylor. If you look at his numbers, it's better than Larry Bird, better than all these guys. But yet, you don't talk about him. You know why? Because he never won a ring. Charles Barkley, one of the best players in his era. Do he get talked? Karl Malone. Karl Malone gets slept on. Karl Malone is one of the best players in NBA history. Bruh. But does he get talked about on? Right? No. So, and the people, two people I really want to focus on. Number one, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's winning MVP after MVP, scoring title after scoring title, and they start, he ran to the bad boy Pistons. They're like, oh, can he win a ring? And then once he won, what did the first thing Jordan do when he won a ring? He bust out crying. Because that's what everybody dreamed to do. When you start, when you come to the, when all of us, bro, when we playing basketball, we thinking about winning a championship, for real. Like, we all want to win a championship. If it's in the high school, elementary, I don't care what league you playing in, Watts League, whatever league you playing in, your goal is to win the championship. That's the first goal. So, and then the last person, LeBron James. LeBron James is a prime example of what Dame is talking about. LeBron James was not winning in Cleveland, and he left so he can win a ring. You have to win a ring. And we're not dismissing the regular season, but if you want to be mentioned with these guys, you got to win. That's all we're saying. And Dame got a whole commercial about winning, about not about going through his whole career and not winning the ring. Got a whole commercial about that. This and Karl Malone, this and this person. He said, I'm just trying to not be one of those guys that, you know, play a whole career and not win a ring. And Karl Malone was like, the burger's ready, right? Like that commercial. So I disagree 100% with Dame. And if you want to stay in Portland, he just got to accept that he's not going to win a ring. If he accept that, so be it. That's you. We still going to celebrate you. But if you want to get mentioned with Steph Curry, you got to go win some rings. Sorry. So that's my take on that. Javon?
So I think y'all all looking at it the wrong way. I really do. I think y'all looking at him saying, like, everybody care more about rings than just hooping. You know, or everybody caring about rings more than ever now, or something like that. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. I mean, of course, I think he's talking more about the purity of the game, the purity of basketball. A lot of people don't even watch the NBA no more because of how the game is played, or how guys don't even come, they don't even play in games no more. Guys sit out games at an all-time high now. It's ridiculous. Like, you haven't seen these, like, this many people start doing, like, it's crazy. Like, I'm scared to buy tickets to certain games because I don't know my mind gonna be there. So I don't think he's speaking about winning, because he don't care about if he won a ring or not, apparently. Like, I don't think he really cares. I think he's truly talking, because he spoke on the clip that you played. He said, I play for the love of the game. I play for the competition. I play to see my guys win, to know the feeling of winning. How he spoke about Jordan cried when he won. He want to feel that too. That's what he plays for as well. He spoke about that. So I agree with them 100% on this. The game lacks purity now. It's not the same. Guys are more concerned about their brands than going out there giving it their all every night. And that's what Dame is talking about. He's talking about guys being proper professional basketball players. These guys aren't that no more. He spoke on veteran CJ Watson. Earl Watson was never playing. Shannon Fry never playing. But they taught him how to be a professional point guard, professional player. And that's what the league is lacking now. Like, we see what's happening in Memphis. Y'all just spoke on that. Hey, Dave, I don't want to hear you talking about Haslam on y'all team, because all you talk about is when y'all need to ship him out. So I don't want to see that comment no more.
Stop the cap.
Don't be trying to praise Haslam now. We got Haslam in Miami. You want him MIA, though. Not MIA. You want him MIA. But I agree with Dame 100%, man. The NBA is not pure no more. I don't think too many guys are doing it for the love of the game no more. like back in the day. When Jordan was playing, it was more guys doing that. Because he even spoke on having a life. J.J. Redick asked him, like, how do you, like, take what people be saying? I have a life, a real life. I go home, play with my kids. I call my grandmother. You know, I got a best friend. He do work from home, so he come over for weeks, and we ride a real relationship, friendship, and we be chilling. So I think Dame is speaking on that aspect of how guys are more, like, soon you come in the league, you know, you sitting out games as a rookie, or, like, it's ridiculous. So I agree with Dame 100%. The game, there's not too many guys like Dame in the league right now.
Can I jump real quick? Dame was saying two things. I think what you touched on was the first half, which is the culture in the NBA. And he also talked about the culture outside of it, like us, like what we're saying about it. Like, he talked, like, what you're talking about is the people that's in it. You feel me? Like, the players. And he also mentioned people coming to him like, you ain't got a ring. What you going to win? That's us, you know? And that's what I'm talking about. Because I agree with that part. So I just want to know. Like, I honestly think that he's talking about also, like, people outside of NBA. NBA values you winning, and they don't really care about the regular season no more.
You know why? It's because of social media. It's stats are seen more. You learn more about the NBA nowadays than you ever did. You don't have to look for it. You just scrolling and you see a stat like, dang, I didn't know this. Oh, I ain't like, that's the reason. It's because of social media. Everything is out there now. Like, everything. Literally, you can get to it like this. So, it's in your face more than back in the day. So, I feel like it's more of a social... That's because of social media. Why it's, like, people around are talking about it more. Like, about rings. Because back in the day, we loved the regular season. It wasn't no ring count like it is now. I mean, we did ring count, but not like now. Guys like Charles Barkley and Karl Malone, people say, like, they ain't got no ring, but they still greats. Like,
but we don't talk about them at all, Javon.
Who don't talk about them?
Nobody.
Stop the cap.
People talk about them.
Charles Barkley talked about because he's on TNT. No disrespect to Charles Barkley.
Yeah, the mainstream media do not talk about guys that didn't win.
So we talking about mainstream media. That's what you're talking about. Because you just said you're talking about people that walk up to you and say that.
Look, well, come on. It's like the outside NBA world. Like, when people talk about the best players in history, Karl Malone should be in the conversation, but he never won. Because he never won, we don't put him in the conversation. John Stockton gets forgotten, and he leads a daggone NBA in assists and steals. And he gets forgotten. Now, imagine if he had two rings. He'd probably be considered the best point guard ever.
Yeah, rings definitely elevate your status. But I just think it's more like people talk about it more because of social media.
I agree with that. Because everybody got a voice now.
Yeah, that's all that is.
But I think the narrative is the same.
Yeah, I think the mainstream media don't talk about guys that haven't won. And all the mainstream media is the main stuff that people watch. So they take what they see on TV and carry that narrative over to their tweets and stuff like that. But so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. So, I mean, every now and then you come across posts with people calling people out for saying something they don't agree with. But, like, for the most part, just like the Westbrook narrative is a clear example. Like, man is averaging a triple-double and, you know, his teams weren't that good, but they were still losing, even though he was, you know, putting up these stats. And the narrative took off, like, because of the mainstream media. Like, everybody didn't collectively come up with that. Like, the mainstream media put that out there. So I do think the narrative is that way, but like, he, to some people, he can come off as, like, a crybaby. Like, he once campaigned for making the All-Star team when he thought he was about to get snubbed again. He talked about snubs and stuff like that. I know we passionate and we want to, like, compete, but, like, to some people, he could come off as, like, he's complaining because, bro, you have the opportunity to leave. Like, I understand you're not trying to ring chase. No, like, if you're worried about what people are going to think about you, people are telling you to leave. So you don't have to worry about that part. Now, maybe if you're worried about your own self, like how you think about you, you think you're going to feel less of a winner or less of a man if you go team up with somebody else. It's not even about going to team up. It's about getting in a better situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can, for instance, I'm not trying to say they'll win a championship or something like that, but if he go to, like, the Wizards, if you drop a superstar to the Wizards team right now, they'd be good. Damian Lillard would be the best player. He'll get the same amount of credit he would if he stayed in Portland. Like, I knew I should have used a different team. But, like,
take them all.
It's so many options you have that you, or you could have had all this time where you could have still had the same narrative. You just,
that's a good point, though.
Like, you can leave. So if you're worried about what people are going to think about you, then you could easily leave. But I agree with you saying, Javar, 100% too. The game and its purity, it's so many times where I'm watching somebody get a screen set that's not even a screen, and they switch. Like, you know they're trying to get the switch. Like, that's easily telling me that you ain't playing to win. Like, bro, it's no reason why I'm letting you switch onto this guard when I know you can't guard him. I don't care what the play you get. I don't care what defensive set we running. I'm not switching this. This little stuff like that lets you know, like, and then I seen some footage, man. I seen some footage of Jokic passing the ball 4 times straight, trying to get that 10th assist. I seen it. I seen it, man. I wish I should have pulled the footage. I seen it. My man had a pick and roll, dropped it off. They passed it back to him, post move, easy layup. He passed it. They passed it back to him. He passed it again. I'm like, man, that's not purity. Like, it's little stuff like that in the game where it's just not, you don't see the same passion, I guess, or pureness that they talking about. So I agree with that 100%.
My one little point I got, I think it go to what Joe was saying as far as like about the winning. If you didn't win, really, people don't talk about you. Like Javon said about the culture of people coming up and basketball fans, even NBA players. For the fact, I know y'all remember this, when Evan Fournier and J.R. Smith was talking about Tracy McGrady, and they were saying that he wouldn't stand a chance against Kevin Durant. A pure basketball fan would know that that's just a blasphemous statement. But it's the fact that Tracy McGrady didn't win while they were coming up. So they just feel like, oh, Kevin Durant won. And we watched him growing up. That was probably their guy coming up. I don't know. Because they was young enough to – Tracy McGrady should have been probably one of their guys. But, you know, they saw KD and saw what he was doing. And they just treated Tracy McGrady like he was Evan Fournier. And I'm like, Evan Fournier, you would never make that statement if you really knew – what this guy was like, you was in Orlando and you making this statement. So that just shows me that you even wasn't a real, I mean, you're good as a basketball player. You won't make it to NBA or not. But you're not a true fan, or you just saying anything crazy out your mouth. And so that just goes to people just not being pure basketball fans no more. Yeah. They just looking for stats and what this person can do.
Yeah. It do be a lot of bad takes out there on social media, man.
That's right, though. All right, let's go to our next topic. So now that was a little debate, but this is like a legit, like, only sports stuff debate. All right, the West. So the Western Conference is crammed, especially from C4 to 12, basically. All right, and it's crazy. It's crammed up. A lot of teams in there. There's no real clear dominant team in the West. So we're going to talk about, and this question was requested by Javon. We're going to talk about which team is the most dangerous. What's the most dangerous team in the West? J-Mo, kick us off.
Man, this one is very close. It's very close to me because, like, I want to touch on three teams and why it's close. Three different reasons for both teams, all three teams. I think Phoenix is one of them just because the talent they have and how the potential of how scary they can be if they were to put it together. Just off the talent alone. We're not even going to bring in the amazing coach they have. You know what I'm saying? They got a great coach. So I think that could easily take it to another level. But a lot of people expecting, you know, Golden State had this many superstars and Phoenix got this many. They can be as good as Golden State. Phoenix don't got the snipers that Golden State had. Not only were those guys great scorers, they're great snipers. KD, the only sniper over there in Phoenix. So they more like the mid-range committee, the midi committee. You know what I'm saying? CP3, D-Book, and Kevin Durant. So I think they could be a very, very dangerous team. Another team I think that can be very dangerous is the Kings. Just because, you know, it's the Kings, man. Let's start with that. I don't care how good they're doing in the regular season. People are going to say it's the Kings. That's what people are going to say. But the reason why they can be scary is because the regular season, what they doing? Like, top offense, very good top defense, like, great in the clutch, great coach. And they have no outside expectations. They have no pressure. They're putting pressure on themselves. Nobody's putting pressure on them. Nobody's saying the Kings got to do this, they got to do that. So they just playing with house money at this point. But that's a great call, Tomo. Them Golden State Warriors, man. They just won last year. I know how bad they playing. I know. But it seems like the defense, like, when they on the road, man, the defense is terrible. But when they at home, the defense is good. So, like, that's dangerous because that can easily – it seems like a switch can easily be flipped if they are all healthy. So, like – I think I'm going to have to go with the Warriors, man. Just because we know what they can do. We've seen it. And they don't look like the Warriors right now. But it's night and day, home and away. So if they can somehow meet in the middle, which is very likely to me, kick Kevin out the comments.
Yeah, I know, right?
And the Mavs. Get him out of here. But, yeah, that's my take.
All right, J-Mo, we agree. I got the Warriors. So sorry, this question is scariest, not dangerous. My bad. I kind of messed up the words. I think the Warriors are the scariest team in the West, and this is why. Offensively, they are already good with the problems they have. They're great. They're second in points per game behind the Kings, of course, like the Bengals. Right? So they are the second. They got a great offense. Curry is having one of his best seasons in his career, averaging 36 rebounds, 6 assists. He's never done that in his career, by the way. While shooting 50% from the field, 44 from three. So he's having one of the best careers. Klay Thompson is having one of the best years of his career. He averaging 22, which is not a lot, but his career high is 22, right? So wow. He's doing and last month, he averaged 27 points last month. All right, in February, he averaged 27 in February. Jordan Poole's averaging a career high, 20 points a game. So they offensively doing their thing. The issue that J-Mo said is the defense. They're 18th in the defensive rating right now, 28th on the road in defensive rating, but they're third at home. Just to tell you that they just
Klay Wash Thompson.
Klay Wash Thompson, exactly. Klay Wash Thompson. I don't know if you joking or you trolling. All right. So they're third. And off and defensive rating at home, just to tell you how good they could be if they want to. And what that just tells me is they're running on fumes right now. Right? Right now, they just trying to get to the playoffs and then turn things up. I know they're doing interviews that Curry said we got to figure it out. It's just that's how it is when you're doing the same. That's why Jordan winning having two three-peats like that back to back is huge, because it's hard to stay good for a long time. So I think that's what it was going with them. Plus, Andrew Wiggins is out for personal reasons. It's a high chance he's going to come back. GP2 will come back. They said most likely he'll come back right before the playoffs start. So those two defenders right there that's going to help them in the playoffs. I think once Andrew Wiggins walk in, they straight. They start lineup is second in plus minus in the NBA right now with Andrew Wiggins. So don't forget. And lastly, don't forget last year when they won the championship. In their last 28 games, they went 12-16. They ended the season awfully, awful. But within those 12-16, those 28 games, first they went 7-16, and then they finished the season all going 5-0. So I think that they're going to be good. As a Kings fan, that's a team I don't want to see in the first round. All right, Javon.
All right. I like y'all pick the Warriors. Of course, they got the two most dangerous shooters in the league on their team, you know. But I'm going to go with the Mavericks. Whoa. I got you, Kev. Hey, Kev, I got you, my boy.
I ain't even going to do this.
And here's why. That's a hater in the background. But here's why. What did Luka do last year with almost the same team with a second score? Western Conference Finals, right? This year had the same team, right? Except they lost Finney, your boy Finney, right? That's your boy, right, Joe Finney? And one more person they lost.
Bronson.
Well, no, it's in that trade.
Oh, you're talking about the trade.
In the trade. Another
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Spencer. Oh, I did a defender.
Spencer.
That's a
son of exactly. Nobody.
So, I think the games that we've seen with Luka and Kyrie on the floor, we saw that their offense is not the problem. We see that their offense is not the problem. Their problem was their defense. But their guy was injured, Max Kepler, who was arguably their best post defender. Mm-hmm. And that's really where they need a defense at. Now, I think what's going to really help them this year in the playoffs is Christian Wood. Now, Christian Wood is a very diverse big. He can shoot from the outside. He can get his buckets on the inside. And he can kind of rim protect as well. Now, I feel like Jason Kidd, what he's doing now, and what's happening now, actually, the fact that Luka and Kyrie is out, they both get to see the team, like, as a coach, kind of, from the point of view as a coach. And the players also get to get out there and play without those guys. So they can get their own rhythm and their own things going. Now, I like that also for the young guy, Hardy, who's coming off the bench getting buckets. Now, he's going to be a great addition. Because Spencer who? Jay Hardy. That's all we need.
Spencer who?
I feel like Luka has something to prove. I feel like Kyrie has something to prove. And I feel like that is going to be the most dangerous thing in the playoffs. Those two dudes, two unstoppable guys getting buckets. And I got the Mavericks making a deep run this year in the playoffs.
You sound like me last year. They did make it, though. They made a deep run. All right, so I'm going to start off first by saying, I think J-Mo said the Kings. I think the Kings is as dangerous as some shaman tissue. I'm telling you, I don't see them as a – they having a good season. I ain't going to hate on them. I mean, it's just because the collection of players, I guess they're just not super big names yet. Just can't see who's going to carry them in the playoffs. My teams is – kind of different. Yeah, I think I got two teams that are different, one the same. The most scariest or dangerous to me is the Phoenix Suns, just because of the addition of Kevin Durant and then the talent. Like, they starting five. Even though Chris Paul is not what he used to be, with Kevin Durant on the floor, you don't have to be that. You just got to be able to do something. You don't got to do much, because they was looking for a lot from him last year, or just since he's been there. With Kevin Durant, you don't have to do as much of that. So you got Chris Paul, you got Devin Booker. You got, depending on how they do it, you might have Josh Okogie or Kevin Durant. If y'all been watching Josh Okogie, the boy facing, he's just a good type player. You want a Gerald Wallace that you want to have on your team. Even though Gerald Wallace is better than him, he can score. Let me not disrespect Gerald Wallace.
You know, you're Bruce Brown from
that. Yeah, Bruce Brown. Yeah, perfect example, Bruce Brown. Then you got KD at the four, I guess technically, but that's a matchup problem for people because you really can't check them. And if DeAndre Ayton could be what he's supposed to be, on paper, they starting five is just crazy. So that might be the scariest team, because at the end of the day, KD came right in and fit right in with that team, as he always does with other teams. Two, I got the Clippers. Even though they've been lunching, but when I watch Kawhi Leonard and see him have certain games where he just like, dang, you can't do nothing with him. His mid-range, he just don't talk. He don't do nothing. He's just getting buckets. And I don't know how. Because I don't know. His game just so weird and slow to me. But he's so strong. There's nothing you can do. And when he locked in defending, he was diving on the floor the other night when I was watching it. Like, doing everything. So, and when Paul George locked in, Paul George could be one of the better offensive players in the league. He just, I think he settled for too many threes. And he kind of timid sometimes. When he just locked in and just doing what he needed to do, he great. You got Robert Covington that barely be getting burned. Norman Powell, when he come back. Zubac. Mason Plumlee, or Miles Plumlee, whichever Plumlee was, it's been a great pickup. Man, he been killing on the boards, just doing everything. You got, I don't like Bones Highland. He kind of immature to me. I see why Denver probably let him go, but he a good player, but he a little herky jerky. But they got a real good team, so yeah, the Clippers is another scary, dangerous team to me. My third, I don't know why y'all playing. If they could get it together, and my man, they not a good three-point shooting team. But I don't think they're going to beat people being a three-point shooting team. They need to beat people playing bully ball. Get back to the old days. Shaquille O'Neal. He's not as big a shot, but the Lakers. Listen, they did this last year. Hey, okay. Okay, get the clips, y'all. They didn't get the clips. They did me like this last year with the mask, and we went to the WCF. So I'm on it. Listen, hey, I'm not on it. But my man, if LeBron come back, and Anthony Davis play like he's been playing. That's the key, Anthony Davis. He can be a top player in the league. He could do the same thing Giannis doing with a team if he just do it. It's the fact that Anthony Davis been hurt. And because why can't the Lakers be good? They really should be good. You got Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and D'Angelo Russell. That's three people good enough that you can be a good team and not be fighting it or scratching to get into the playoffs. It's the fact that Anthony Davis been macking it. If he can play like this, I wouldn't want to play them. If I'm the Warriors, I don't want to play Anthony Davis because who can check him? If he play like that, though, a true big man, not no three-pointers. I know they can't shoot the ball. Even though they're a little better, you got Malik Beasley. But him just banging down low all game, on the boards all game. LeBron can be the second guy instead of being the first guy. D'Angelo Russell done brought a whole lot to them. He can be another person who can score the ball, knock down shots when he needs to assist. Dennis Schroeder in that role as the backup point guard looking pretty good. He come right in, and that's another person. He can defend, assist, and score the ball. So I'm liking the Lakers team. I ain't saying they going to the championship, but I ain't saying they ain't.
Man, I don't know, man. The Lakers, are they going to play like this when LeBron come back, though? Exactly. Because LeBron not being there, Malik Beasley, every time he touched a rock, he's like, I'm letting it fly. Is he going to do that? Is he going to get the same touches when LeBron there? Is D-Lo going to be able to run the pick and roll as much when LeBron there? Like, I got to see how LeBron look with them. So, and even if I do see it, I still don't see it, me personally.
Yeah, like, go ahead, Devin.
No, I was just about to say, I don't like how none of y'all said the Nuggets either. Like, y'all disrespecting that team. Because they got a good team. I think they like Denver. I mean, like Milwaukee, they got a good team, players. You got Bruce Brown, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Jokic. Is Jeff Green there?
Mm-hmm.
You got a good team. So y'all are disrespecting the Nuggets a little bit.
You said it right.
No, it's because.
You said it right. Good team.
I feel like good. They was a given. They did, man.
But he said it's scariest.
He said scary.
Y'all
said the Warriors.
Ain't nothing
scary
about
them.
I mean, they got a championship pedigree.
I don't care. They are done.
So, look, like, I think in the Western Conference, a lot of teams you can't go wrong with. Like, Javon, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying about the Clippers. And I think we all agree with the Suns. I mean, it's hard to, like, narrow it down to one team. But what I could say with the Mavericks, right, the Mavericks – Luka was magic, but they mainly got to where they were. So mainly were because they defense. It was top three defense last year. Warriors too, but Warriors have shown us that they can be a great defensive team. I just told y'all at home they're third best. The Mavericks are bad at home anyway in defense right now, and they just traded away their best defender, which is crucial. So that's gonna be an issue with the Mavericks. And then the Clippers, I have no beef with the Clippers. I mean, to be honest with you, the Clippers is my dark, it's like one of my Western Conference Finals teams. Depending on how the bracket goes, I got them potentially going to Western Conference Finals. So I'm not mad at the Clippers pick or the Suns.
Yeah, the Clippers. Yeah, I agree with you, Devin.
On the Lakers, come on, bro. Like
Clippers can be very dangerous.
I get it. We want the Lakers to get there. They got the big names. Like you said, we don't got the big names. All right, I get the Kings. You missing the Kings. They got the big names. I get it. But you depend on too much, Devin. If AD could be like this, really? Is he going to be like that? Is AD going to be healthy? Really? We're talking about a guy who don't play back-to-backs and a guy who's not even close to coming back, and you got being one of the dangerous teams. Come on, bro.
Remember, he said this.
Hey, Tomo, stop the cap, bro. Come on.
Stop the cap.
All right. Let's move on. All right. Let's move on to our next topic. All right. This topic is about Clutch, right? Swiper right now is on track to win. Swiper as the Aaron Fox, on track to win the Clutch Award. And Javon requested this. I was surprised with this request. Javon was like, I got something for you. Put this topic up there. I was like, now I'm ready. So I'm going to kick this one off, and coincidentally, Javon going second. All right. So Clutch. Who is Clutch? Is Fox the Clutch's player today? I mean, yes. There's no debate. There's nobody in the same stratosphere right now as Fox when it comes to being Clutch this season. All right? First off, Fox is leading the NBA in total clutch points with 182 points, while shooting 54% from the field. Out of the top 20, only one person is shooting better. It's a shooting better field goal percentage than Fox, and that's Bradley Beal. Shout out to the Wizards at 59%. All right, only person in the top 20 not shooting, and they're still in the play-in. So look, also. Defense, right? Oh, sorry. Top five clutch players, only two of them. Oh, here we go. Defense in the clutch. Out of the top 50 players that lead in total points, only two of them had double digit steals, and that's Fox and Bam Adebayo. All right. So, and also, it's not clutch if you're not winning. You gotta win in the clutch. You gotta win, right? In the clutch, right? Fox has the most clutch points in wins, which is 140 points. Jimmy Butler is second with 100. Third is Donovan Mitchell with 87. So he's basically about to double Donovan Mitchell, and he's third in wins in the clutch, right? Also, he's shooting 56% in the clutch when he wins. He has the most steals in the clutch in the win outside of Bam. Bam is number one. He has 8. So not only offensively he's shown up in the clutch, defensively he is too. He leads the league with the most 10-point fourth quarters in the NBA right now with 25, and Giannis is second with 23. So it's no debate. I don't see nobody else being in that category with Fox. He's leading the most of the categories. So, yes, Fox is definitely the clutchest player in the NBA right now.
Hey, let me go, Javon. Because I already talked to my producer. I gotta go see Creed at 8 o'clock, y'all. I might be sleeping outside if I don't. But me personally, it's gonna hurt me to say it, but I do think it's De'Aaron Fox. I had to do some little research, and I had to watch the Kings game. I had to stay up and actually watch these games. And the biggest game is, of course, he won me a bet. You know, so that's what it is. I had to, you know, stay up and watch that game. But I watched him go from having 6 points starting the 6 or 8 points starting the fourth quarter. He ended the game like 23 or 24. It was crazy. Just watch. It went on a run. I know y'all know the game I'm talking about. He was going baseline, dunking. It was just crazy. And I'm just watching him. I did not know De'Aaron Fox was that good on offense. Like, he's so shifty and so good with the ball. Like, I did not know he was that good on offense. And it's all was in the fourth quarter. It's like Mike Brown said something to him, and he just, just turned it on. And ever since I watched that, it's been like every night he's been doing it. And so if I got to go with this year, just this year, De'Aaron Fox has been the clutchest. Because the second person I was going to go with was Joel Embiid, because he's asked to do a lot for his team in the fourth quarter, as far as passing up the double teams, as far as if we don't score in this possession, who else going to score? Because some nights you don't know what James Harden going to do, and I'm being honest. So there's a lot of pressure on Joel Embiid, because like with Jokic, he got Jamal Murray for his shots. Michael Porter Jr. is really the guy who, like, the offensive guy, as far as most talented on offense, I think is Michael Porter Jr. there. You got Bruce Brown to hit big shots. As far as talented on offense, I mean, Jokic's talented, but
Jamal,
I don't know. I think Porter Jr. got the whole package. And he like 6'10". Jamal Murray not that shifty with the ball to me. But that's another debate for another day. But if it wasn't Fox, it was going to be Joel Embiid for me. But I'm going to have to go Fox just because I think he winning more than Embiid. They culture seem to be going up, and then the Philly just seem to be going down. Even though Philly winning, it seemed like they don't win this year. That's it. They gonna bust it, break the whole team up. And so I'm going De'Aaron Fox. And I don't know how to get on out of here, but I'm out. I'll tell you how the movie was, fellas.
Let's get it.
So you know you're wrong. So Jemma, you can go first if you like. You know, you agree with Fox, then I want you to go first. How about that?
All right, let me just say this. My man Embiid got 6 game winners. You know what I mean? I don't know what classifies as a game winner, go ahead bucket, whatever you want to call it. My man got 6 though.
Okay.
Well, at least 5. Hold on. Let me check my Palm Pilot. He got a game winning mid-range jumper against the Jazz when we was down by 1 with 4.9 left on the clock when he made the shot. You saw the nice Jordan Kobe Bryant-esque fadeaway he hit against Portland. 1.1 left on the clock. He hit the go-ahead 3 against the Bucks, down by 1 with 40 seconds left on the clock. 41.4 to be exact. He's got a game-winning mid-range step back on the Hawks, down by 1, 18.6 on the clock. He's got a game-winning 3 off a kickout against the Bulls. I think that was a tie game with 18 seconds left on the clock. You remember the clutch block against Ja Morant. He got a clutch block in 2 games against the Celtics, clutch block against Jaylen Brown, clutch block against Tatum. I don't think we won the game against Tatum, though, because Tatum hit the game winner. But I believe he's tied for 3rd for most blocks in the clutch. So I think he has a great argument, like Joe made for Fox, for both ends. But as far as totals, De'Aaron Fox has the edge with points in the clutch just because he doesn't do nothing for 3 quarters. He saves his energy. Cheating. My man Embiid has to carry the team all 4 quarters. So, you know, I'm gonna get Fox the edge on that one. But that's the case for my man Joel Embiid.
Now I'm gonna mention somebody that none of y'all even said anything about.
I know you're gonna say.
Now I don't think you know Joe. Before I go, I wanna ask Joe a couple questions.
Okay, for the interview. Okay, let's go.
Joe, didn't you tell me or the whole chat that the Kings the most efficient offense in NBA history?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, highest offensive rating.
Highest offensive rating. That's what it was.
Yeah. Best offense. Yeah.
That's pretty much saying you've got a good offense. Like, you got a good system offense, right?
Great offense. Yep.
Hold on. Let me ask you this. Don't you got 2 All-Stars in your team?
Oh, yeah. We definitely do.
Like the bee. Don't you have a coach of the year?
Oh, yeah, he do. Hands down.
It's not just because of the wins. He's a good coach, right?
Hands down.
Hands down. Okay.
Like the bee.
That's 3 things going for my man Fox. Mm-hmm. And one more thing. You've been campaigning for this guy, you know, a 6th man of the year.
Malik's. For Malik.
He does his thing, right?
Hey, for sure.
Sometimes your boy ain't got to do nothing. Malik got it. You hear me?
Hey, sometimes you're right.
Like the
I want to talk about something else. Devin brought it up. Pressure. Who got more pressure on him? Now, I think that has something to do with clutch, too. So I'm going to go a little deeper with this clutch thing. I ain't just talking about who scored what points when it's close. See, we know the Kings can score. We know they're the best offense. They've got the most points in the league. 120 points a game, right, Joe?
121.
Guess who's 3rd? OKC, 117 points.
Okay.
You said you got it. You can't just be one. You can't just be clutch. You got to win, too, while you clutch.
Uh-huh.
OKC, a 10th seed. Nobody saw that coming at all. Now, I'm not going to say that's not the 2nd seed. Come on, Joe. Y'all doing y'all thing. Hey, give me time. I would like the bean one time. I'm going to do that for my boy, Joe.
Like the bean.
Now, I think it shows that you're more clutch if you have to carry your team to success 9 times out of 10, rather than, let me say, y'all fight to the end and then you just help them walk through the door.
Okay.
Now, the Kings are a number 1 in offense, but did y'all know they 3rd worst in defense? Mm-hmm. They allow the same amount of points as teams like the Rockets, teams like the Pacers. This is my thing. The Kings are in close games all the time because they can't stop nobody. They just going to outscore you. It's been times they won games. Fox had 15 points. Fox had 18 points. Fox had 11 points. My guy for most clutch is Shaq. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And the reason for that is because if he doesn't come out and give them 30, they don't have a shot. And what does he do? He does it. He's clutched every single night for his team. Since he's been back from his little injury, he's been averaging over 34 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I give you Fox as far as clutch points with the stats. That's what Dane was talking about. You know, everybody running to the stats and this and that. Dane. But I'm going to go with Shaq because I feel like he has more pressure on him to perform every night and to lift his team to get him over the hump. No knock on Fox. He hooping. And I want to get on Devin for saying he didn't know he was that good on offense.
Stop the cap.
All right. So you got Shai. I think your argument is more so who's better. Like, just because you carry your team don't mean you clutch. You see what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of people that carry their team in the NBA. That's a Tennessee right now. I mean, you look at Jalen Green. He's carrying the Houston Rockets, but they got a terrible record. He is. He's carrying them. Girl. But he's not NBA good. But I'm saying he is carrying the Houston Rockets. Who else they got?
But that's different. You said
carrying. Damian Lillard is carrying the Portland Trailblazers right now.
Yeah, he is. However, where is he at?
13th seed.
He's not even in the playoffs. Play in or nothing.
But SGA, the 10th seed, though.
But he's in the
11th seed, matter of fact, I think.
Joe, Portland is more a team that's always in the playoffs. They're always, Dame's always in the playoffs. You, when he got this team this year, people were saying this is probably one of the best teams he had in a while. They for sure put the Portland in the playoffs. Nobody knew the Thunder was going to be in the playoffs. And I don't think my argument isn't about who's better because it's not just about carrying the team. It's about he's averaging 31 on a team that if he don't do that, they're not going to have a chance.
I agree.
But Fox doesn't have to, like, he doesn't have to carry the load. He has a great system around him. Mm-hmm. And it's probably easy for him to get his shots off and everything. Like, I just feel like he's in an easier situation to succeed. Not trying to take nothing away from him. I feel like it's tougher for Shai, and he has to be. It's more pressure on him to be that guy. Even in the fourth quarter, he takes over. He hit game winners. He does it all for his team.
So does Fox. In the fourth quarter, Javon, our offense is give it to Fox, get out of the way. Literally in the clutch, is give it to Fox and let him go one-on-one. That's Fox in the fourth quarter. It's not like we run in motion in the fourth quarter and he just find an open layup. It's give it to Fox. Like when Mike Brown gets in the press conference, when the Chicago game, what was the game plan? Give it to Fox. Everybody got the way. like basically, that was the game plan. So it's, I know you see not trying to take away from number five, but it's not like you are. It's not like you are trying to take away from Fox because Steph Curry, right? Steph Curry, well, I'm not going to use Steph Curry. Just because he has a better system around him and SGA doesn't have a better system around him. Now, your case would make sense if SGA was like second in clutch or third. I don't even think he's top 30 or top 40, tell you the truth. I don't know.
He was leading in December before he got hurt, started getting injuries.
Fox was leading the whole year, for real.
No, he was number. He was. You talking about clutch points. I'm talking about clutch player. He was number one clutch player. It was an old article out saying he's the clutchest player in the NBA right now.
He was hitting
game winners in the beginning of the season. He was really carrying though.
Yeah, I mean, I think SGA is a great player. I do think that. But as far as this year, who's been the more clutch? It's been Fox. Fox got 10 in the fourth quarter, Javon. SGA is averaging 30, but I bet you Fox is averaging more points than him in the fourth quarter. And then that's what us having blowout games and stuff like that. Don't forget, it's a lot of fourth quarters Fox don't even barely play because the game is not close. We do play a lot of close games, but every game isn't close because we're – and then also, when the game is close, we win because of Fox. We're 4-0 in overtime. When games are decided by 1 point, we're 5-0. So if the game is close, most likely Fox is going to take us home. Like, the dude, I mean, against Kyrie Irving, I think I'm going to say Kyrie. Against Kyrie Irving and Luka, two of the clutchest players, he dropped 26 in the fourth quarter in overtime. The man is clutch, dog. He's clutch. I'm sorry. Now, SGA, great player. But I think this year, Fox has been in clutches.
Yeah, SGA definitely All-NBA. If he don't make All-NBA this year, they tripping. But Fox, and I know I'm making a joke, but there's some truth in it, man. My man Fox be chilling the whole game. And how you the best clutch player and you don't even average 25? Do we average 25?
No, he average 25 on the nose.
You know what I'm saying? How you the best clutch player average 25? That's just a great team right there. That's all that says. But yeah, man, you heard I'm putting a bid in for my guy, MVP. But yeah, no question, man. Fox, I think he's running away with the clutch award.
Awesome. Like the bid. All right. All right, y'all. So we're going to do the NASA Era Top 5. I got to get my files ready. I have the files. I got to find it. All right. So we're going to do a little quick minute commercial break. All right. And then we're going to come back and do the NASA Era Top 5. Let's get it.
Yo, my name is Lambo Anlo.
This is Dimitri.
This is Ed Hahn.
My name is Daryl Julian. And this is
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Refuse to Lose Sports.
Mind it can't be diffused. If you ain't thinking the same, then we playing by different rules. You can't see the vision, we living in different views. Until we complete the mission, keep getting up, never snooze. I walk the mile in my shoes, had the mind of a fool. Chasing diamonds and jewels, trust me, I was confused. Started minding my business and used my mind as a tool. End up finding my purpose and found a time to get to it. They told me I couldn't do it, they told me I couldn't make it. They sold it, could never break it, that's sadly mistake. And I need piece of the pie, I want it so bad I can taste it. They told me, like, told me, keep on running, toes, they gon' take them. Refuse to lose, built the win, applied myself, I felt it in. No time for the doubt, they counted me out, I'm getting it in, yeah. No time for no loss, I pay for the cost, I'm winning to win, yeah. Refuse to lose, I'm built to win, applied myself, I felt it in. No time for the doubt, they counted me out, I'm getting it in, yeah. No time for no loss, I'm paying the cost, I'm ready to win, yeah. Refuse.
All right, no graphic. We're gonna have a graphic for the last one, all right? All right, well, no, I don't have a graphic as we go through it. So, today's Not Your Average Top 5, all right? It was hard. I was trying to think, okay, what kind of top 5 we can do today? And the top 5 is basically the top 5 players that need to make the playoffs this year for the sake of their career or any situation, all right? So, at number 5, Wizards fans gonna like this, Bradley Beal. All right. Since John Wall's injury, Bradley Beal only made the playoffs one time, and that was when Russell Westbrook was there. I know Bradley Beal averaged 30 points a game, but that year a lot of people thought Russell was the best player. And lately, people kept using injury for excuses for the Wizards not making the playoffs in the past. But guess what? This year is no excuses. They have been the sixth healthiest team in the league this year. In the Eastern Conference, they've been the third healthiest team in the East, only behind the Sixers. Sixers have been healthier than them, and the Knicks. And they're still 10th seed. They were a top 6 seed for only 5 days in the whole year so far, and that's 5 days in November. And after that, and after the last day of November, they've been the 9th seed or lower for the all year. And you look at their roster, they got a good team, but if they don't make the playoffs this year, then there's going to be doubts on the Wizards organization. Is Bradley Beal good enough to lead us to be a contender in the playoffs? And they might just move on for Bradley Beal. So Bradley Beal, you're number 5. Number 4, DeMar DeRozan. All right, DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan is at the stage of his career when he's not getting better, y'all. I mean, he is who he is. Whatever you see right now in DeRozan, that's what you're going to get. When I watch Chicago, DeRozan, he averaging 25 points a game. Surprisingly, he's averaging 5 assists a game, which is highest on his team. But is he going to get better? And don't y'all think he's kind of stunting Zach LaVine's growth because he's the guy? And can you win the East with DeRozan? Like, think about it. Like, can you win the East with DeRozan? No, You can't do that as the best player. Chicago will be a faster team. I think they should play in a high pace, but they can't because DeRozan's a half-court player. And the reason why DeRozan got his assists is because a lot of them is out the post. So I look at this team, right? They don't move the ball. They're 23rd in assists per game. And they're an average team when it comes to pace, and it's because of DeMar DeRozan. So if they don't win this year, I think they're going to ship him off this offseason and put the team on LaVine's back and get some great role players around him so they can be a much faster team, more exciting team. So DeRozan, hey, you got to make the playoffs this year. Number three, Anthony Davis. All right? The Lakers are evaluating AD at this moment while LeBron is out. Next year, you look at his contract, next year would be his last year with no options. So in the 24 and 25 season, he has an early termination option. So he can walk away himself in 2 years. And the year after that, he'll be a free agent. So the Lakers are trying to see what they're going to do with AD. All right? And it's not really about AD's performance. It's a lot about his health, having him on the court, injury purposes. His first year, y'all, with the Lakers when they won a championship, he missed 9 games. All right? The 2021 season, he missed it was 72 games that season. He missed 36. He missed half the season. All right? 21-22 season, he missed more than half of the season. And then this year, he missed almost 40% of the games this season. This dude was always hurt. So the Lakers might seek a trade in the offseason if they don't make the playoffs for AD. So AD is number three. Number two, Kyrie Irving. All right? Kyrie Irving is number two. All right? Kyrie Irving is sad because I don't agree all the stuff with Kyrie Irving, but he has a bad stigma on him of not being available, right? Now, I don't agree with all the slander he received. It's not his fault. It was a pandemic. It's not his fault. It was mandatory to get a vaccination. But at the end of the day, it happened. And teams remember that. All right? Now, when he came to the Mavericks, things started off well. They went 2-0. They had two of the highest scoring halves they had all season, those first two games without Luka. And then when Luka came back, they went 3-6. All right? That's not the bad part, though. When he arrived, the Mavs were the 6th seed, right? You got them as high as a 4th seed, Kyrie, a half game behind the Kings. Then right now they're the 7th seed. And mainly because not only Luka is hurt, who played through the injury, Kyrie is hurt. He missed the last 3 games. And it's reports saying that he's saying that he wants to be fully healthy for the playoffs. All right? So if he don't make the playoffs, the Mavericks might move on for him. The only reason why I don't have Kyrie number one, because of what the Mavericks gave up to get him. They gave up pieces to give on draft picks, so it'll be crazy for them to move on from Kyrie, but he won't be getting that. He might not get that long-term contract he's seeking. He might get a short-term contract offer. So Kyrie is number two. And number one, I think we all know who number one is, Russell Westbrook. I mean, Russell Westbrook. So for Westbrook, it's not about stats. I mean, is it? But you get what I'm saying. It's not really about stats, what I'm talking about. All right? It's not about him starting. It's not about him finishing the games. It's more about him just winning. If he just wins, then he'll be good. But look at this, y'all. When Westbrook arrived as a Clipper, the Clippers were the 4th seed. When he arrived, the last 13 games, they were 10-3. They were on a roll. And then Westbrook comes, they lose 5 games straight. Javon, in those 5 games straight, right, Westbrook averaged 31 minutes a game, and they plummet from the 4th seed to the 8th seed. Right now, they're on a 4-game winning streak, J-Mo. Westbrook averaging 26 minutes a game. So he's not playing as much as he used to when they were losing 5 games. Y'all notice he hasn't finished the games. So right now they're 2 games they're 2 games out the play-in. Like they're the 5th seed, 2 games out the play-in. If they make the playoffs, Russ can show flashes of his old self. And maybe the Clippers will keep him, or a team will take a chance on Russ. But if they miss the playoffs again, I know it's not the segment for it, but Russ,
you're done, son.
Sorry. So those are top 5 people. What y'all think? I'm gonna put it up right now so y'all can see the visual, but what y'all think?
You go first if you want, J-Mo.
I think it's a pretty decent list. At least the top three. But I don't see, I mean, I guess you did the list based on who you think will make the playoffs or who you think has a chance to make the playoffs. But I don't see how I don't see how Damian Lillard is not on this list. Like I'm looking at the standings now, and the Bulls are 31-37. They're what, one game outside of play-in. The Blazers are 31-38. They're like two and a half games outside. Oh no, yeah, they're 2.5 games outside the play-in. So yeah, they're right there as well. And Dame is an even better and more decorated player than Bradley Beal is. So I think you should have an honorable mention or something. But I think you made a great point about DeRozan. I think that they should have been realized that that DeRozan, it can't be your best guy. I mean, they should have realized that the way he lost to LeBron. I'm not saying he can't be that guy because he lost to LeBron, but he straight up just got swept. I don't even think he averaged 25 points. You know what I mean? And anytime you got him and Kyle Lowry on the team, and any given game, Kyle Lowry can be the best player. That's how you know you're not that guy. The Bradley Beal point was good, but it's just that I guess it's important for the Wizards organization. It's not really a big deal to the league because nobody puts Bradley Beal in any types of conversations. But Kyrie, AD, and Westbrook are all three good points. I think Anthony Davis, like even the fact, outside the fact that he keeps getting hurt, it's not like whenever he's healthy, he's averaging 30 and 15. You know what I mean? He's had stretches where he's played great. He's had stretches where he's played terrible. So he need to figure that out. And everybody keeps saying LeBron got to pass him the torch. LeBron got to pass him the torch. He has to take the torch. It has to be clear. It can't be no discussion. When Kobe was becoming a man, it was clear. It's like, all right, Kobe trying to overtake Shaq. You got to get up out of here. And they don't got to get LeBron up out of there, but Anthony Davis need to make it. Anthony Davis need to take the crown. He need to play so good that with people like us doing these shows, Anthony Davis their guy. It needs to be like a fact. You know what I mean? Like I remember an old clip. I think it was Skip Bayless. They were talking about different types of closers. He was like the cleaner category of the closer was that when they walk into a room, they don't have to tell anybody that they're the closer. Everybody already knows. And that's what Anthony Davis need to do. Anthony Davis don't need to say nothing in the interviews. His play needs to let everybody know that he's the guy on the team. Because LeBron is putting up the stats and everything, but LeBron clearly either needs some help or he's like, bruh, can you do this? I'm showing you how to do it. Now, can you do this so I can chill? Like, I don't see what's stopping Anthony Davis. It's perfectly laid out for him to make it happen. So, I honestly think it's only because he already won a ring why you got him at number three. But he very well might need to go to number one. Just on the simple fact of we expect the most out of him, out of everybody on this list. So he might need to go to number one for me. But the Westbrook thing, I think you hit it right on the nose. It has nothing to do with stats. I think his minutes went down in the last couple of games because they don't play him in the clutch. He probably was playing like 6-7 minutes in the clutch every game. They don't even do that no more. So he just got to win. He don't got to be the reason that they win. He just got to be a part of the win. So if he can show that he can be a part of the win, then he can go down with a nice name.
That's his problem. He don't know how to do that.
Yeah, he don't. He can't.
I'm not the one taking him. That's
what I'm saying, man. Like Jason Kidd didn't win an MVP, but Jason Kidd took a team to the finals multiple times. And when he went to the Knicks, I remember he went to the Knicks. He told the coach, "I don't have to play a lot of minutes, but I would like to finish the game."
Yep, that's it.
I don't gotta play a lot of minutes. I don't gotta start. I think he was playing like 17 minutes a game, but he was in the game the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, he did say that.
And Russell Westbrook just get it in his head to where he can give all his energy for the first 42 minutes of the game. In the last 6 minutes, all right, y'all, I did what y'all asked me to do. Now let's get it done. Like, you're not going to get ripped because you didn't finish the game. You did your part. Now it's time to close. Now it's time for the guys who drop it is to close. Now they got to close. So I still think AD should be number one on the list. That's my take.
I agree with that, J-Mo. Oh. I was going to start with that. AD definitely need to be number one because, like J-Mo said, this dude is a monster. This dude was killing this year. And when he plays and he plays his best, they win.
Yeah,
so he definitely needs to be number one. Now, DeRozan, Bill, I think you need to chill. To keep it real, they ain't even on the same playing field. We talk about superstars right now. Now, Bill, DeRozan, get them out of here, Joe. I'm sorry.
You got it.
We're going to put AD number one. Kyrie going to stay at number two. I wish I could make a 1A, 1B for real because Kyrie even made the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
They got swept last year. If everybody forgot, he got swept riding, trying to ride KD coattails. Because he tried to ball one game, and then after that, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I agree.
Westbrook, third. I knew. I saw this coming from a mile away. The guy's not that skilled. They like him more for effort and heart. He's a great player. He's just not the most skilled. So it's hard for him to mesh everywhere and every place he go. So he's third. Dame definitely deserves to be on this list, J-Mo. I agree with that as well. Dame is number four. Dame, my boy. You're supposed to be a top player in this league. Y'all not even in the play-in right now. What's going on, my boy? Shay got his team in the play-in, number 10. What's going on, my boy? It's not even about... Is Dame that good? It's more about, bro, you used to be at least be in the playoffs. Now you're not even making the playoffs. You like your career is getting lower and lower as far as getting closer to a championship. Like it looks like you're never gonna win. Too complacent. He's too complacent.
Facts.
My last guy's gonna probably shock y'all. And this is my boy. I mean, this guy is a baller, shot caller, all that. And that's Trae Young.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one.
Trae Young is in the AFC right now.
That's a good one.
34 wins. The Raptors got 34 wins in the ninth seed. Wizards got 32. Pacers got 32. And the Bulls got 31. So he can get bounced out of the playoffs before the play-in even start. Now, the reason why I throw him in there, because how many coaches has left since he's been there?
Yeah, like what, three? It's like third coach.
This is his third coach.
What did he do his second year in the league? When was his second year? He's confirmed his second year, right?
That was his third year.
It might have been his third year.
The second year was the bubble year.
Yeah, third year.
Third year. What did he do in third year? Eastern Conference Finals.
We know what he did.
And after that, what has happened? Last year, he looked like a scrub against the Heat. Everybody kept saying he need more help. He got help.
Yeah, he went and got DeJounte.
And he's in the AFC right now.
Good point.
My boy, you got to make the playoffs, my boy. You're getting these coaches fired. You're supposed to be a superstar. You led the league in points and assists 1 year. Like, come on. If you can do that, you can carry your team. You went to the Eastern Conference Finals already. You can do better. Now, that's
your
not that's the average top five. You hear me?
Hey, no, I'm with that. I like that. I like the substitution of the man disrespected him. He said they ain't in the same stratosphere, okay? Nah. So take Bill and DeRozan now. I like you're that because you know son. Why? I like Trae Young more though, because we consider him as a top point guard, right?
Yes.
So the reason why I ain't putting pressure on Dane, cause it's like they're not winning in Portland, bro. Like, he's not winning in Portland. Portland will never get rid of Dane. Dane never leaving Portland. No pressure. All right? So, Dane can do what he want to do. Trae Young, though, we consider him as a top point guard. You mentioned, Javon, rotating coaches. He got Quinn Snyder now. Quinn Snyder actually came in early on purpose because they asked him, do you want to come now or you want to wait till the start of first? He said, I want to come now because we got a chance to still make some noise. He said that. Mm-hmm. So, And we, like I said, we consider him as a top point guard. I was thinking like in the East, I say he's the second best point guard in the East, for real. I'm trying to think like who other point guard is really better than him in the East.
Who first?
I don't know. I think he's the second best guard. I said guard. Donovan Mitchell. It was him. Donovan Mitchell was third. I actually had Trae Young over Donovan Mitchell. I said that early in the year. I forgot who's first. Because remember we put that, huh?
I mean, I'm just saying the man leading an assist. You know,
he might be the best. In
James
the
Harden? No, it wasn't James Harden because James Harden wasn't. Was James Harden on this? I don't know.
But I get what you're saying though.
It was that list on the NBA chat. But I'm like, he's the second best point guard in the East, or top three, top four, whatever. So if he's a top anything, we should have playoff expectations on him, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a good point.
But it's the same thing that happened the year he made the playoff run. They got a new coach post All-Star break, and they started looking better. Yeah. I don't know how much better they've been looking since All-Star break or since they got the new coach. But
like 500.
I do know they won like the first two games, but I don't know how they've been looking. But another thing I want to say is, since we talk about Trae Young and how he's a top player in this league, you know, we talked about Kyrie, but we didn't talk about Luka. Some people say Luka the best player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because he just made the playoffs last year? Is it because he just made his run last year? So it's like we know how good he is now, or is it he's been hurt? Like, what's the reason why he's not on the list? Because he's on the same team as Kyrie. So if he's supposed to be one of the best players in the league, top three, then he got to get up in there too.
See, I want to throw Luka in there. Well, I feel like, let me say this. I feel like Kyrie's in there because all the drama around him. You know, last year they got swept. They always say, you know, he's not a good leader, this and that. He only won because of Bron. He's kind of in the same boat KD in with the Warriors. How you got to win your own ring now. Like, you won on with the Warriors. You can't win by yourself. So, I think Luka, I mean, he's been hurt a lot this year. A lot of people are gonna throw like they traded away his whole team, like so it's a lot with Luka, and I think Luka, I don't think he's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think these guys are the problem though, you know, like the Trae Youngs, the ADs, the Kyries, the Russes. I feel like they are the problem, or they are the solution to the problem. You know,
that's a better way to put it. The solution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Kyrie ain't doing nothing bad right now. But you got traded over there to a team who wins in the Western Conference Finals. They do anything lower than that, oh, yeah, they're going to kill Kyrie.
Yeah.
They don't make the playoffs.
Kyrie has nothing but a bad winning track record since he left LeBron. And it's not all his fault. Some of it has been circumstantial. But you can point to the few that he had control over. Got swept last year. Got bounced against the Bucks 4-1.
Yeah.
Like the few that he's had control over, he's not looked good. So that's the only evidence we can go off as far as him being like the top guy on the team, or at least 1A, 1B, because it was clear when he was with LeBron. But that's the evidence we have. So that's what everybody going to go off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great points, y'all. Great points.
I'm so tired of people surviving off skill, man.
Okay.
And ability and how you wow the crowd. What have you done?
Nah, for real. That makes some great points. I'm really taking DeRozan and Bill out and putting I put DeRozan in, forget Bill. DeRozan in there because he could be gone out of Chicago.
I agree with that. He agree with that too.
Yeah, but Bill, the Wizards don't have to keep Bill. No matter what happens.
Right.
So, do you know that Bill and Dame, like when they retire, Bill and Dame will make more money from contracts than LeBron James did.
Crazy. And LeBron took less money so he can win.
Right.
And after he won, he said, I'm not taking no less than the max, which is he earned his money.
Yeah.
So KD took less money to go to Warriors.
Same thing, Tom.
Hey, look, LeBron, you made a good point. Oh, J-Mo. He don't have to go to a super team. Go to the Wizards. Like, go somewhere. Like, I think he should go to the Nuggets.
It's not about that. It's about going to a better situation.
Come to Orlando and stop playing.
On some real stuff, I wish we would have got him. I wish we would have traded Ben there instead of getting Harden. On some real talk, I wish we would have got Dame instead of Embiid. But, I mean, instead of Harden. But I'm good now.
But if he go to the Nuggets, bro, he gonna be the best. He gonna still get love with the Nuggets.
Yeah, he still get love.
But y'all, Joel Embiid gonna get most of the love.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about his image. I forget his image. I'm talking about my team.
Okay. All right. So let's wrap this up, y'all. So like this video, subscribe to the YouTube channel, share this video with somebody that y'all know so they can go back and rewatch this. All right. Y'all are lit in the comment section, like always, using our comments. We appreciate y'all. We have some IG chats, y'all. All sports, basically, except for golf and a few things. Like we have NBA, NFL, MLB, college football, college basketball, and boxing. So in those sports chats, we give out updates on news for trades, signings, off the court, off the field issues, on the court, on the field issues. Anything related to the sport, you get on in that chat first before any major platform. And we debate in those chats all the time. And when news comes out, debate, right? People send reels of different videos that happen that are like people like teams and they go at it, you know, when on game day. It's a great environment. But we also have a refuse to lose chat for those who actually came on the show and they come on that chat, and that's not news related at all. That's straight debate related. And when you're part of refuse to lose chat, we do like all NBA teams, all pro teams in football. You could be a part of that voting group. All right. So, J-Mo, let's talk about that Refuse to Lose chat and why it's so valuable.
Well, the Refuse to Lose chat is lit because, like you said, it's for the people who've actually been on the show. So, it's full of people like you can see not only what they're typing, like, you know, anybody could just type, you know, their opinion or type when they argue with you. But when it's something that somebody said on live air, like, it's a different type of accountability. So yeah, it's fun in that matter. Some of the guys in the chats have businesses on the side, so people link and network that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with the parlays and the bets people do on FanDuel and stuff like that, I mean, people talk about that. It's so many different ways we segue into conversation. But, you know, it's debates. It's you get to see how people really feel, because it's what they say on the show. Like, that's very important, because like typing is one thing, man. But when you get on here and talk, you can't regret what you say. You know what I mean? Because you can always, right after you type something, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to say that, I meant to say this.
But or delete it.
It'll delete it, right? They got that new unsend, man. That's really dangerous. But like it's just like we're creating a brotherhood, really. Like it's some real cool dudes in there, dudes I never talked to before I got in a chat. So, you know, shout out to Refuse to Lose chat, man. That joint be lit.
Yes, sir. All right, y'all, let's get some last words in. Now, Sacramento, man. Hey, I went to the Nets game yesterday. Hey, good dub, y'all. Hey, I met Monty. I should have put a picture up, but I met my man Monty McNair, the GM for the Kings. Appreciate you. I'm still seeing you. I hope you got that video on Twitter. All right, like I told you. But I'm excited about the Kings, man. I truly think that we are a contender. Like we have an opportunity to make it to the finals because of how the West is shaped right now. And like Javon said, we are third to last on defense, but we're the number one offense. So one thing about that, we're always in the game. But do y'all know on the road, we're a top 10 defense on the road. We're a top 10 defense on the road in the fourth quarter. We're a top 10 defense. So when it gets crunch time, when the pressure is high, that's when we are at our best, really. Your pressure is higher on the road. We are a better defensive team on the road. So I'm excited about this year, man. Light the beam.
Light the beam!
You know, me and Joe, you know, our team's been in the bottom for a while. I thought I was going to rise with you this year, my boy.
Bruh.
We still trying to climb. I mean, the Wizards are all in the race. We still trying to stretch to get in the race. But, you know, my Magic, you know, we got, I think, what, 12, 13 more games left. Let's just try to finish with a bang. There's no pressure to make the playoffs this year. We're a fairly young team with a great, great talent on our team. But it would be great.
That got to be a Wizard fan doing that. It gotta be.
It gotta be. That's their history right there. That song. So I just want to say thanks, Joe, for having me on the show. Once again, I love talking this right here, man, especially with my bros. Mm-hmm. And I want to say I'm happy for your Kings, man. I was there, you know, I know the feeling. I seen your face for the years, and you couldn't do no talking. And, you know, if we don't make the play-in, when the playoffs start, I'm getting me a Fox jersey, like the man.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Like, yeah, man, appreciate you for having me as always, man. Hold on, let me...
Oh.
You know what I mean? In case y'all want to see what greatness look like. You know what I mean? Look, man, that's a three-headed monster right there, man. Look, this is I'm telling you. I'm feeling great about the team, man. We are Embiid. The most important thing is that Embiid is ready. Embiid was ready last year, but he got hurt. I'm gonna say it all the time. Embiid is ready, man. He's ready. And for years, since Embiid has gotten there, I want the Bucks. I'm not scared of Giannis, man. Embiid puts Giannis under the rim every time. I want the Bucks. The Celtics is the team that scares me because they have athletic two-way wings that's just hard to deal with. You know what I mean? They got the one problem that we can't solve with Embiid unless they come to the paint. You know what I'm saying? So that's the team that scares me the most. But we'll have the best player in that series. So I'm very confident. Shout out to Embiid, man. MVP, let's go. I'm feeling great. We playing the Hornets right now. I'm not even checking the stats. I just know he got 20 in the first half. I'm not even tripping off that. But like Joe said, thanks, Joe, for having me. Shout out to them Sixers, man. And shout out to them Dolphins. We making great moves. Tua just got to keep his head in the game, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, no problem. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. That's all we have for y'all today. And we'll see y'all the next episode. Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all the next episode.